Okay, morning. Very fun to be here this morning. I hope you'll find it is the case after about 20 minutes of this. Right. So we're doing a series on Proverbs. Now, if you're somebody who's brought up on phonetics and you read the contents of the Bible, you'll probably call it Proverbs because that's generally what it looks like when you read it. So it's a bit of a strange name for a book in the Bible, but it is a book in the Bible. And so I associate this with those two parts of the word, so pro and verbs. And it helps me remember it because I see the pro as like professional, as in really high quality and things that you should do, and the verbs as in the doing word. So I see it as a book of really good things to do. And it is a book of wisdom, and it's as a book of old sayings inspired by God. So hopefully that sort of sets a bit of a scene of what this book is. But it's a fantastic book, and I really love it. So hopefully we can expand on it this morning. And what I want to do is just pick out two verses from this book of Proverbs. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. And in the it's not going to be on the screen for health and safety purposes. You might want to follow it on your electronic devices, or if you look on page 630 in the books in the pews, the Good News Bibles. It's a slightly different version to what I'll read out, which is the NIV, but if you keep your finger in that and in other places that we're going to go in the Bible, that'll really help you. So it's page 630, and it says this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." And quite often people read that, and I've certainly read it and thought, oh, that feels nice. But then when I actually work out, and particularly then focus on trust, and how we actually do this, and how we bring this into our lives, it actually becomes a lot more challenging. Both personally, I think for a lot of us as well. So, but to bring this to life, as David says, I didn't bring the Lycra this morning. It's not required. But I did actually contemplate it though. But it's always good on a bike, but not off a bike. Anyway, let me not distract myself. I thought I'd bring this to life with a bike itself, and I'll show you what it is. So this, and what it is, I want to use this bike to show how it actually compares to trust and what it actually means to trust in God. Because to trust in God is a learning process, and very much like a bike, and learning to ride a bike is also a learning process. So let me unveil. Microphone. So this little bike. Oh, hello. Oh, health and safety didn't quite work there, but that's good. That's good. Right. This little bike has a brilliant microphone holder just here. This bike is sponsored by my niece Zara. So thank you much, Zara. And Steve over there pimped it pink. So it's looking good. Let me just give you a little demo. That's actually quite tiring. Anyway, so I was going to try and speak and do that. I'm glad I decided not to. Back to this. So what's this got to do with Proverbs and trusting in God? Well, something does happen when we learn to ride a bike. And you can see on that one, it's got a few things on it. It's got the basics on it, and it's got the basic handlebars and a brake, the wheels, the pedals. You learn how to use those. But in particular, it's got, for a child's bike, it's got these little things at the back called stabilizers. And that's where I want to put a little bit of a focus on to what we're doing. Now, what it can be in our lives, something can happen as we walk or ride our bike with God. And learning to trust God and go about our lives, what we can actually do with our lives is have artificial stabilizers on them. So it looks like you're on your bike. It looks like you're doing your life pretty well. It looks like you're trusting in God. It looks like you're going about and doing the right things. It looks like you can be in the right places and generally being okay. However, what we can't realize sometimes is that in our lives and in our bikes of our lives, in our relationship with God, that we've actually got artificial stabilizers that are actually holding us back and stopping us from maturing in following with him. But these stabilizers, what they can do, they can keep us upright. They can actually keep us pretty balanced. They can actually feel like we're moving forward. But in reality, the size of your bike and the fact that it's artificially stabilized is something that can hold us back as we follow Jesus. So on this bike, despite my best attempts, I'm not really going to go very far on it. I'm not going to go very fast on it. I'm not going to be able to go over curbs on it particularly well. Uphills could be a struggle. Downhills, completely scary. So I wouldn't be doing that on this sort of bike because it's basically too small for me. I should have grown out of it by now. And it's also got stabilizers on it. And all of those things are slowing me down. So as we follow Jesus, the challenge for us is, do we want to go on with a struggle of going up and down the pavement for the rest of our lives with these stabilizers on? Or do we want to go on and ride life's challenges and ride the things of our life that are in front of us? And as I cannily called it, ride the Tour de Life, beautifully done there, with Jesus. Can you see what I did? So it's meant to be terrible. But as we follow Jesus, there are stages we go through in our relationship with him, just as stages we go as we grow up and ride different bikes. But it's a great journey, and it's a journey to true freedom in life through Christ. And this journey requires trust in Jesus, where we need to let go and we don't lean on our own understanding. So on this journey to trust and freedom and riding our lives really well, we need to identify in our lives our own artificial stabilizers. So let me give some examples of some artificial stabilizers. So I want to try and include everybody here. But if you feel I've left you out, don't worry. The list is not exhaustive in terms of these stabilizers. So what can they be? Stabilizers in our life can be value we place on relationships, dysfunctional negative thinking patterns, also known as stinking thinking. Maybe the value we place on our job that we have, or the fact that it feeds our sense of identity. Maybe a need to people please, or a need to be needed, or maybe money, how we find security in money. Or maybe a sense in belonging in the people around us, or our eating habits maybe. Maybe our virtual identity online. Or a daily routine that has to include coffee, or has to include a glass of wine. And it also can be some more destructive things, coping mechanisms, like eating disorders, self-harm, drinking, or gambling. So for me, my stabilizer stories of where I think Jesus has taken them off. One I think I had quite recently, a dysfunctional thinking which I didn't realize I had, where God gave me some things to do and he gave a vision for things. And really what I was trying to do is just do it all on my own strength. And what Jesus wants to do is just take that off, take that sort of thinking off, take that thinking I have to do these things and it's up to me. And just to take those stabilizers off and trust him in that. Also, I find a thing which is sort of a daily, weekly, monthly, annual thing is around money and how or if I find security in it. And that's one of those things of how I have to plan wisely and do those things but not find my security in it. And really allowing me to trust in him with my money and finances and those things as we go forward. And God's done some great things as I've just allowed him to do that. Also, for me, identified with the help of Kate around eating and what I do and how I eat. And what I identified was that I have it's almost a stress reaction when something's a bit tense or whatever. I would just go and eat snacks and those sorts of things. I'd eat loads of stuff in between meals. And probably just because I grew up with a fast metabolism, didn't really need to think about it at all. So it's something I changed and asked God to take off and help me not to rely on that. Because it does sound a bit stupid. What do you rely on in your life when things get tough? Oh, yes, a chocolate hobnob sorts me out. It does feel a bit daft, really, now I reflect on it. But now, you know, when things get a bit more tricky, do I rely on a chocolate hobnob or do I rely a bit more on Jesus or what the gifts he's given me to try and sort things through? And that's been a great journey of taking some stabilizers slash handlebars off, if you get what I'm talking about. And it's been great, and I feel a lot more healthy. I've lost a stone and a half since January, something like that. And it's just a case of just living more effectively and sort of taking those stabilizers off so I don't rely on things. And I want to be a long-term person who's fit and healthy and can do great things for as long as I can. So hopefully God will, you know, I'm glad God's sort of shown me that, and I can take those things off and don't depend on them so much. But it's a continual thing. But also for us, there's lots of ways in our lives and different extremes and subtleties that we can manage our own lives. And things that can actually try and keep us balanced, and they keep us maintaining a feeling of control and feel like we can do this all along. But they're really back to this thing of there's artificial things that are holding us up and artificial things that are filling our lives and artificial stabilizers that are going on. But with all that, there's really good news, because through this, there's an actual a journey that we can go on, and a journey, bizarrely, that starts with a stop. So if we stopped still long enough and asked God about our life, and we asked God about our dependencies, and we asked God about our stabilizers, he would say this. He'd say, "Let me show you. And let me teach you. Let me teach you to ride your bike. Let me teach you to take these things off, these stabilizers off, so that you no longer need to stay in control all the time. You no longer need to be liked all the time. You no longer need to try and hold yourself up all the time." So let me illustrate this with a story of a young man who met Jesus. And then when we talk about trust and we read a story like this, it becomes a bit tricky. But let's go through this. So Matthew 19, verses 16 to 22. This can be found on page 28 of the Bibles in the pews. The counting starts again, so it's right near the back. So right near the back, page 28. Matthew 19, verses 16 to 22, which is on page 28. I'll let a bit of flicking going on. That's good. Okay, we're there. Great. So Matthew 19, 16 to 22. Just then, a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want eternal life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he inquired. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Now I want to just pause there. And if we want to take this proverb seriously, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, we also need to be asking this very same question to Jesus that this man does. So Proverbs is about wise things, and this man asks a wise question of Jesus. What do I still lack? And then what we need to do is listen and seek an answer that Jesus will reveal to us. So in this circumstances, Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go. Sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Let's just let us off the hook a bit here. If we tie this to the bike, Jesus is saying, okay, you've got the basics. You've got the basic bike. You can push the pedals, you can steer, and you can brake, and that's really great. But let's now take the stabilizers off, and let's go for the things that artificially hold you up in this world. And then you can grow, and then you can ride your bike and ride your life with me. Now, I think for that man in this situation, he's got the stabilizers and a tiny bike of his life suddenly came into his view. So he felt like he's on his bike and he's got his stabilizers on. He was holding on to a lot of things that were keeping him upright, and they were keeping him stable. If you think about him, his finances, his position, his influence, and maybe the fact that he was quite a young guy as well. There was something about his entire life that were holding him up. And Jesus identified these things, and he lacked nothing except a willingness to give it up and to follow Jesus. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Now, Jesus doesn't really have a problem, fortunately, of being wealthy or having money or position or influence. He does have a problem with those things holding us up, though. Our worth and value needs to actually be in Jesus. And what I find both interesting and intriguing in this is the level of choice we have about this. Because what was Jesus' reaction? He didn't go running after this man as he walked away, renegotiating terms. Hey, let's have a chat about this. However, there is something about our willingness and our courage to let go of things. And Jesus will not make us do it. He will not force us, and sometimes he won't go chasing after us. But he will always wait for us to come back, and he will welcome us with celebration if we do. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So let's look at one of the big artificial stabilizers that we've got in this. These two verses, lean not on your own understanding. Matthew 14, 22 to 32, which is on page 22. There's a lot of 22s in there. So Matthew 14, 22 to 32, page 22. So just leaf back a couple of pages, six. So this is a story that we've got. Just comes after John the Baptist was beheaded, and Jesus goes out and teaches on the mountain and miraculously feeds 5,000 plus people. And this is what happened afterwards. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. That's the other side of the lake. After he dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come on the water." So here we've got a really good example of what trust in God means and not leaning on your own understanding. Because Peter is in a boat, he's in a place of comfort. Although he was afraid because he thought he saw a ghost, it is comfortable for Peter because of these things. It could well have been his boat because he was a fisherman. But it's also, never mind whose boat it was, it's his domain. He knows exactly what a boat does and he knows exactly those waters. But also, if we think about it, it's his financial security. It's also his business, his way of life. And all wrapped into that is actually his identity. But what actually happens? What happens as he steps out? "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come on the water." And this is what Jesus says to him. He says, "Come." Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. Because you see, before he knows it, Peter's actually outside of the boat. He leaves behind all those things he knows well, and he steps out from there. And he did something that only Jesus has ever done before, although many of us have probably tried on a swimming pool. And then, don't tell me you haven't. And maybe it's just me. It was only Jesus has ever done before, and he defies the laws of nature. And he defies it based solely on Jesus saying, "Come." The level of trust that Peter requires is brilliant, and it's also inspiring and something we can be inspired by. And he's actually no different from you or me. And the boat can be a parallel to our lives as well, and our lives right now. So maybe you can hear Jesus saying, "Come." And maybe he's saying, "Come out onto the water with me." Because there is something that says, do you trust me enough to step away from the things that you know? It's also the things that you know. It's also like the boat, some things that are actually containing you at this moment. Just to encourage you further on trust, I think it's really important to read the next few verses as well. Some of you might have read on and say, wait, what about that bit, Ben? It says this, "But when he," which is Peter, "saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You have little faith,' he said. 'Why did you doubt?' And then he climbed into the boat, and the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" So just like Peter, to be encouraged by this, when we're afraid, when we look at our circumstances and we go under, or days when we think it's all over, days when all we can say is, "Jesus, I need you." On days like that, the Bible says, and Jesus responds, immediately. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Immediately and instantly, Jesus is there if we trust him. Because it's like riding a bike, really. If you take the stabilizers off, you may feel a bit wobbly. But Jesus is there to help, to support, to see you develop, to teach you, to cheer you on, to encourage you, to catch you, and to ride with you. So let's reflect on the proverb on trust and see how we can begin to live it out. Because it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." So thinking about this, what is a good and a wise response to these wise words inspired by God? Three things, maybe. There may be more. Maybe you know exactly what the stabilizers in your life are. And Jesus says, "Let me teach you. Let me take them off. Trust me." It could be that actually you think you're doing okay, and that is really good and to be encouraged. But also you don't want to be held back. So maybe you ask Jesus the question, "What do I lack?" And then give you a chance and yourself a time to listen. Or maybe you know Jesus wants you to step out or take a different step, take a risk. And he says, "Come." He says, "Come to me, trust me, step out from your boat." So in those things, I think it's wise to ask a question and then listen. So we've got some time now to respond. We've got a time to just spend a moment on our own, really, in our own thoughts. So I want to give you that time just to give a moment to reflect and ask God to reveal himself to you. Because when we sung and when we talk about the kingdom of God breaking through, one of the things he breaks through is in our lives, and it's now. So as he reveals things to you, that's a revelation of God, because he's just talking to you about your life, and that's a kingdom thing and the kingdom of God breaking out. So I want to give you a time for that. What I want to do is just have a moment to maybe reflect on these things and ask God to reveal things to you. So let's just maybe close our eyes and you can think, is it a stabilizers thing? Is it a question of asking God, what do you lack? Or is it you just need to take a risk and God's told you to come? Let's take a moment to do that. Okay, I'd encourage you to go back and do that again another time. But also, I think if God's speaking to you, sometimes we think at these times it has to be something massive and life-changing. But I think there's a thing of just being able to physically say, yes, something happened, or God was speaking to me, or I'm asking those questions. And it could be a really small thing. It could be like a medium-sized thing in your life, or it can be a big thing. But I want to just give you an opportunity now to, in some ways, to cement that. If God's been saying something to you, just to stand now and say, this is a little thing, or a medium-sized thing, or a big thing. Just be able to, so you can physically say, yeah, I want to engage with this with you, God, as a response. So if you feel God's been speaking on any of those things, do you want to just stand up now? We're just going to just pray for that, really. Nothing big or major. That's great. And all we're doing in this standing now is just we want to acknowledge that God is revealing stuff to you. And he wants you to really hear his voice. And for some of you, it might be stabilizers that need to come off, or things that need to change in your life. But if you just want to close your eyes, maybe hold your hands out, and we'll just pray. Lord, through your Spirit, just come now. I thank you, you've been speaking to all of us, but thank you for these guys who just want to step out and stand up. And whatever it is that you've been talking to them about, just seal it, Lord. So it's something that you can work with them on. So by your Spirit, just, you know, reveal those things and take off those stabilizers and those things that are holding back, or maybe they just want to ride with you a bit more and step forward with you. Just seal that in their hearts, and your Holy Spirit will come upon them now. And also, there might be fear. If any of you guys or anybody standing or sitting has fear, remember what happened when the disciples had fear. Jesus immediately says to you, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. So fear can sometimes be a real closeness to God. You just need to not be afraid and take that risk. So Lord, we pray against fear holding back. Pray that we won't be afraid. Help us just to have courage in you and trust you. Amen. Do take a seat, guys.